All right, we're going to this morning finish up your notes. There are some back on the table. If for the 32nd time you have forgotten the set of notes that you have, we're going to finish this part, I think, today on this aspect. I will do 2 other weeks on helping the poor, but it's not in these notes. So I'm going to ask a question. I was told this week, it was not a negative, it was factual, and he was correct, and I won't say who. Tim knows who, wasn't Tim. He says, you're kind of hard on some people. So I'm going to ask you, do you think I'm hard on people, and why would I be? By the way, you just read the verse, don't philosophize. And the things that thou hast heard, I'm not Paul, but in this case I am, that you've heard from me, among, what's it say? So this is not some religious, discipleship program where one-on-one we talk and fill in little blanks. I'll talk about that in church. He's talking about the same commit thou to what? So we've spent now, Frenchie could tell you, 7 Sunday schools talking about tithing. Now, do you know what? People who don't tithe will never come to me or Tim or Dada to discuss tithing. Who do they come to? And when you blather and bumble and fumble, does it do any good to be hard on people? Probably not. Because I tend to think people who are asleep are asleep. But the Bible requires you to learn things, practice them yourself, and then pass them on. Is that right? By the way, if you ever get an email from Jim Duncan, fawn, you never get one because he never emails you. But what is the verse he puts on every email? You don't know. 2 Timothy 2:2. Because it is a classic verse of the things you learn, look at me, you pass on. So if I seem to be rough and actually expect you to learn really heavy ideas, I wouldn't understand somebody that wouldn't. So here we are. The tithe is the Lord's. Boy, that's deep. It's for the Lord's service and servants. As I said last week, I and Tim could go get a different kind of job. Because we have people that say you shouldn't receive a salary. They try to say that's not biblical. All kinds of nonsense. It's like, okay, so Tim and I go get a real job. But somebody still has to pay for the heat and the electricity and the building and the chairs and everything else you have. You never get away with somebody's going to have to pay for the service. Now, I can prove without any shadow of a doubt that the New Testament commands the people of God to take care of what Tim and I and Dada do. Now, Dada gets paid better than all of us. Right, brother? He's a blessed man. Well, in most ways. In most ways. He has a few exceptions to that. I won't go any farther than that. Because, by the way, if you don't get those concepts, Galatians 6, verse 6, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And those words teach come from the word catechize. Thank you, Rhonda. One person was listening. For the 4th time, we've talked about the same thing. Yeah, catechism, meaning in the local church in the New Testament, they did a lot of questions and answers. I've had people in this church in my 22 years, if I asked them a question, they said, we're never coming back to that service. Well, then I'm going to ask you a question. If you're not able to answer a question here where people like you, how are you going to answer questions where people don't like you? And the answer is you're not. You're going to hide your Christian life under the bushel for the rest of your life. All right. It's not an offering. We've already talked about that. We are now to this place. We're still here. It's not an offering. So if you look up on the board, I said basically on the subject of giving, we have tithes. And I didn't write everything down. Actually, this should be where offering is. And offerings. And what are the 2 kinds of offerings? Somebody other than Rhonda tell me. Yes, thank you. Benevolence. And let's stop here. A tithe is 10%. That is not a suggestion. That is a command. An offering is above and beyond that. Please look at me. And it's always according to your ability. And frankly, though I don't like this, it's according to your desire. So if you don't desire to help people in missions, now I don't understand a person that wouldn't, but offerings are free will, something you want to do. And I will say this, the more it becomes what you want to do, the more of a blessing it'll be for you. The more it's like, okay, I guess I got, well, you lose something. Under offerings, we have basically benevolence. We're going to spend two Sunday mornings talking about that. It's in the New Testament so much. It is the number one issue in the New Testament is helping people in need, believe it or not. America, we have less need of this, but it's still there. And then mission support. Everybody found John, 3 John. We'll begin. It's a very long book. So we will read it in context, okay? The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. And let me say, this is a special kind of love. I experience it. When I'm around certain people, hear me. You call today, not you, me, maybe you too. If I call Heidi and Dietmar, it's like they never left this church. If I call Tony and Rachel, it's like they... And it's a love in the truth. I could say the same thing about Romeo and Rose. I could say the same thing about Arnel de Leon, which was here the shortest length of time. Though he's rather important in our church, Dada. Because Dada got saved on a Bible study on a ship from Arnel de Leon. So it's kind of an important guy, at least in his life and in the rest of our lives. I love that verse. But we're going to go on. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified to the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I mean, yeah, anybody that's in the ministry, that's what else you're going to say. Now, most people, if they got this far, would get lost. There is both the most positive passage in the New Testament on this. Look over here. Mission support. And then right after that is the absolute worst passage in the New Testament. Now we don't have the second problem here. Verse 5 says, Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. And probably meaning this, not strangers in the sense of as it's used in the Old Testament a lot, a foreigner. Probably somebody you don't know. Because understand, sometimes people drop in here, missionaries, we don't know them. When I went over to the Christmas party this year, how many guys were here? Filipinos? 14, and there was a young lady too. Now she was not here for the Bible study, I just to let you know. But by the way, they're strangers to us. We don't know them, but they're connected to the brethren. So let's go ahead and read so we don't miss the point. Which have borne witness of thy, let's make it proper, thy love. These people have told the church about your love. And then he uses a very strange phrase in the King James Bible. Whom if thou bring forward, on their journey after a godly sort, thou shall do well. What is this bring forward on their journey? I'm glad you asked. We'll look at it in a moment. Then he gives the reason why this is so important. Because that for his name's sake, they went forth. He's talking about missionaries, folks, that went forth on a journey and they took nothing of the Gentiles. Hello? They went forth for his name. Wow. He goes on to say, we therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Our first missions conference at Lake County Baptist Church, I preached on this passage. For all of you that can hear from now till Sunday morning and can remember 1 + 1 = 2, I'm not going to tell this story Sunday morning. At the end of that sermon, I had a guy that was in this church in those days who was a professor at Moody, said that was the best sermon and the best preaching he had ever heard in the Chicagoland area. And he only stayed in the church about 3 more months. We're going to talk about that in Sunday morning. Not personally. It's not a personal thing. Now you move over to the next passage, and of course, it says, I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Could you imagine there was a man named Diotrephes that would not allow the Apostle John in a local church? He loves to have the what? This word is only found one other place. Somebody raise your hand and tell me where. Anybody. Preeminence. It's in the New Testament. Yeah, it's in Colossians. And who's supposed to have the preeminence? Yeah, well, there was somebody in this church that wanted the preeminence and didn't want Jesus to have it. Old Diotrephes wanted himself to have it. Verse 10, wherefore if I come, I will remember his deeds. Ooh. Which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, but he that doeth evil, you know, Diotrephes, why do we spend so much time trying to give people assurance of salvation? Assurance of salvation, yes, you can have it the day you get saved, but by the way, the main way you find assurance of salvation is how you live over time. You look back and say, you know what? I were a pagan. I'm no longer living like a pagan. God has changed my life. Pretty straightforward. Then he talks about Dada. Dada hath good report of all men and of the truth itself, yea, and we also bear record, and you know that our record is true. And many other things, I have many other things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto you. But I trust I shall shortly see thee. And in Greek, this is so gross, it's hard to read. And we shall speak stoma prostoma, mouth to mouth. That's a little too close for me. How about you? In the King James properly says face to face. It means personally, folks. It doesn't mean you're kissing, but it is a little gross. Peace be to thee, our friends salute thee, greet the friends by name. All right, if you got your notes, I have in your notes what I call the three basic offerings. Tithe or tithing, benevolence offerings, which we talked about last week, and lastly, mission support. And as I say, I think this probably covers what we call project offerings for our church and for other ministries, helping them with specific needs. Now, we're going to look at the verses. Before we do that, everybody look at it. The two main references to mission support comes in two different ways. Philippians 4. It's in your notes. Now, this is what my challenge is to you. I realize some of us don't read enough of the Bible for the Bible to make sense. When you read Philippians, hey, you know the book you've been avoiding your whole adult life, Leviticus? You can't understand Paul and missions giving without understanding Leviticus. Because Paul says some very specific things about supporting missions. Look at verse 18. It's in your notes. We don't have time to read everything else. He says, but I have all in abound. Their mission support, remember? He said, you sent once and again, but something happened in the communication, and they've caught up with him again. And he says, but I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you. Now, odor is probably not the first choice of words I would use today. Fragrance, aroma. Hey, somebody tell me, where does that come from in Leviticus? It's the sacrifice that you burnt and it went up to, so to speak, went up to heaven and God smelled a what? What if God didn't smell that? Your sacrifice would be rejected. Paul is taking the Old Testament language and saying when you support missions, not only am I helped, God smells something, so to speak. Don't make this too literal. Don't get goofy. God smells, and I wouldn't use the King James word only because odor has become a word that just, oh, I smell an odor. I smell an odor. You don't want to go down that road too far. You smell it too. Oh, Tim. That's terrible. No, I did not smell an odor, folks. He says an odor or a fragrance or an aroma. Does that work for you? Of a what? Do you understand? A sacrifice improperly given or the wrong sacrifice would not have that, so to speak. It's using metaphorical language, the sweet smell to God. So it is an aroma or a fragrance of a sweet smell, a sacrifice. Remember, friend, this kind of, in my way of thinking, that's just routine for believers. But when you get over here, this moves into that sacrificial language. You're giving, maybe you're deciding that you're not going to buy, you know, the iPad number 212 because you got eight of them in your bedroom that you don't know what to do with except play games. And you're thinking, instead of buying iPad number 9, maybe I should sacrifice. Is that even a sacrifice? Maybe I shouldn't buy that and I'm going to do whatever to help. I think it's a sacrifice. I think it's a beautiful thing. And by the way, folks, sacrifice means what it means. You're giving up something. Do you ever give up something for the Lord? I mean, it's not to buy salvation. It's to please God. Let's continue reading. So he's using this Old Testament language from the book you've been avoiding called Leviticus. He says it's a fragrance and an aroma of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, and then these beautiful language, acceptable. Otherwise, God accepts it, but it's much bigger than that. It's well-pleasing to God. Wow, I like that. Now, the next verses, folks, on missions. Now, we have the commands of missions, you know, going to all the world. I'm talking about missions giving is found scattered through the New Testament. They all have a word. It looks something like that in English. And it looks the same in Greek if you read it. Propimpo. Pimpo is just a normal Greek word that means to send something or to send someone. But it's used in a very specific way in the New Testament. And you should say, thank you, Pastor Warren, for pointing it out. So now you understand missions, what we do. And it's used over and over in different contexts. We already have it, if you look in verse 6 of 3 John, which have borne witness of your love before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey. That phrase, if thou bring forward, is this word, propimpsis. You're sending somebody and you're helping them on their journey. Acts 15:3. And being brought on their way. The spelling is different because it's plural and some other things. But they were brought on their way to Jerusalem. How? By the church. So friend, it was just kind of commonly understood when a man or in a couple or two couples or whatever left their home church to go to another place to minister, the church or churches did what? They helped them on their journey to their work. That's called missions. Let's keep reading. And by the way, I recommend if you have a hard copy Bible that you actually sometime take a small pen, write these in your Bible so you have answers for why you support missions. It's not a secret. Philippians 4 is very obvious, and all of these texts are very obvious. Romans 15:24. Whensoever I take my journey into Spain. Now, we don't know if Paul ever made it to España. We don't know. He says, I will come to you, for I trust to see you in my journey and to be brought on my way thitherward by you. He's just assuming the church at Rome is going to help him get to Spain. That's called missions. Yes. 1 Corinthians 16:6. And it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you. For what purpose? that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. 2 Corinthians 1:16. Are you all bored with this? Look at me, folks. You have technical information that you ain't getting some other place. This is what the New Testament talked about, missions. So when Dada goes to the Philippines, I already know a bunch of our Filipinos, maybe two or three other families, specifically help him. Lots of families specifically help me. But we're just two guys. We have folks we support in this church anywhere from $700 and something for one missionary per month, to two or three or four that were up in the $200 to $300, $400 range. And we have a list of missionaries this long, in case you haven't looked. And yes, they all get supported every month. Why? As a church, we're required. It's not a suggestion. We're required as a church. Now, you don't have to give. You can spend your money on stupid. And boy, we're good. Aren't not Americans good at that, let's be honest. Sometimes you're like, I was out at the mall, and I have a TV that I don't know who bought it for me, the Filipinos, but I remember Robert handed it to me. It is 32 inches. It weighs about a pound. It's skinny. Remember that, Robert? But I'm out at the mall, Robert, and they have an 80-inch TV out there at Sam's Club. And then they have one, I don't know if it's better, but I'm sure it must be better, right? It's curved. Well, can I be honest with you? I do not want to see anybody's face that big. You start seeing stuff you don't want to see. I don't want to see the hair in somebody's nose. I don't want to see little pimp. What do you want to see that much for? Do we blow money on stuff like that? Don't open your mouth and be stupid. Christians are some of the worst. Now, get yourself a television. God bless you. I'm sure we all need one. But there does come a place where it's like, this is small. That's what I find funny. I see those TVs. I don't have a wall that big in my whole house. You know, they're like this long, and they're like 80 inches. You got one, Mike? Is this a testimony? Yeah, but all these young people are like, what's that? I can remember a 19-inch TV used to be big, and the one we had was black and white. And you got three channels. Four, if you include the yes. Oh, you had nine.
We had two public ones. We had Chicago and Milwaukee.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, you were living high, buddy. You're living high. Can I be honest with you? I'm not going to preach about anybody's stupidity. This is the reason when we talk about tithing. One guy talked to me this week and said, you had me when you demonstrated to me that everything we have comes from God. And everything else is, it's just, you don't ever convince people because everybody has more toys. We need toys. All right, let's keep reading. You have in your hands, by the way, absolute references to something that you did not have in your hands before today. Okay? 1 Corinthians 16, we'll read it again. And it may be that I will abide, yea, in winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey. 2 Corinthians 1:16. He says, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. No matter where Paul went, he just assumed that Christians supported missions. Titus, bring Zenas, the lawyer, and Apollos on their journey. Paul wasn't saying, just don't support me. He was saying, support Dada. And if we can ever get Cliffy educated, support Cliffy. By the way, I want more. You got to realize, you guys, some of you don't, you say, what are your goals for the church? I have lots of goals, but I have goals that we have a couple more, two or three educated men that we can send to other countries than the Philippines. You say, who are they? I'm not telling you. I always have plans. You say, you want everybody with a master's degree from Central Seminary? Be all right with me. Wouldn't hurt this church any, I can tell you that. So, any questions so far? Any questions? Yes or no? So I want to ask the question to all of you. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, are you capable of explaining tithing? It's the Lord's. It's for the Lord's service and servants, and you have verses, many. It's given at the God's appointed place. It's not an offering. Yes, can you do that from the New Testament? If you can't, what are you here for? What is your purpose of being here? We don't need anybody to check off boxes. You're not doing anything. And again, when those people come to you and say, I don't believe in tithing, and you just sit there and just blub, 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 blub. All right, yes, I do, and I will be hard on people who I know are not listening. They're checking the box. They're taking notes, but they ain't listening. I cannot be anything else because this is what a church is. Church is not me, it's you. Well, we'll look on to the next point. Tithing, the tithe and tithing was, well, let's see what happens in this next point. Look at Matthew 23. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. People ask me these kind of questions. Should we tithe on our gross or on our, what's the other thing called? Here's where you start. Just tithe and shut up. Here's my second principle. Now, this is an honest question. Should I tithe if somebody gives me $25 at Christmas time? I think you tithe, by the way, on your increase. Is a gift increased or is a gift? I think it's a gift. Now, if you want to tithe, somebody gives you $500,000, tithe. Yes. Fact is, double tithe. $500,000, I think, what would that be, $50,000? $50,000 to the church and $50,000 to Pastor Warren. We're good. But by the way, these were people that were very wrapped up in, and I remember people like this. If they made $222.22, they did an exact, they didn't want to make sure God got down to the penny. Oh, give me a break. He says about that. You've tithed of mint and anise and cumin, but you have omitted the weightier matters of the law. How in the world did you do that? Judgment, mercy, and faith. Then he says, these ought you to have done. You ought to have tithed, but you ought not to leave the others undone. You know, there is a kind of a way, and I don't know how to explain it, where people become experts at tithing on anise, cumin, and stuff like that, but they don't witness to people. They don't pray. They don't read the Bible. You know, there's a whole bunch of things, folks, and I believe in tithing, but let me just give you this basic reference, and I'm going to move on. Tithing, minimally, was commended. He says very clearly, yeah, you should have done this. But you probably ought to have done the other things too. Actually, you should look at life as weightier and less weighty. So the tithe was commended by our Lord Jesus in these two texts. Now, if you'll turn to the next page, I'm going to give you the most obvious thing you have never read in the New Testament. You'll never read it in the New Testament. It's not written in the New Testament. Look at me. But it's obvious. It is the most obvious thing about tithing that I could ever say when it comes to Jesus. Are you ready? Remember, obviously, Jesus practiced tithing. Now, before you write that down and check that off, why do we know that, Frenchie? Never says it one place in the New Testament. My friend, if he hadn't have practiced tithing, he was not qualified to die for our sins, because he was a person born under the law, and he kept the law. Yes? And if he didn't, by the way, if he hadn't have tithed, every Pharisee on earth would have said, yeah, you talk your baloney, but you haven't been tithing. My friend, Jesus was born under the law to redeem them that are under the law. Yes? Who else practiced tithing, do you reckon? You reckon Paul did. How about the other apostles? Folks, they were, take a breath, they were Jewish. Hello? They were Jewish. So Paul practiced tithing and the other apostles did. They don't have to tell you. If they did not, that would have set them apart in ways where they would have had no influence over anybody. And Jesus did have influence over people. Now, we have enough time to do this. I'm going to do this really quickly. It's been brought to my, I talked to a couple people this week about this in general, so I'm going to bring this up to you. I had pretty much forgotten this horror. You know when you're young? Mike, I'm going to recommend after the Sunday school, you go over and talk to Zach. Mike, you have socks older than Zach. Sometimes when I talk to Zach, I'm like, you're 20, what? I was 29 years old. I'm going to erase this. I was 29 years old. I was an assistant pastor. It was the first time full-time in the ministry. We had some kind of a speaker. I don't know if he was a missionary. So I'm going to, by the way, I'm going to speak to Zach and his lovely sister so they hear this from the pastor. And then, even Frenchie, not the guy that's the sharpest crayon in the box when it comes to noticing things, he didn't even ask me why I have toilet paper on top of my desk this morning. Normal people would have noticed that first, not Frenchie. Oh, yeah, that's Frenchie's problem. But Zach, Frenchie is going to answer a question this morning, and he will be 100% right. There's one thing he knows about. I was assistant pastor. I was 29 years old. I'd never pastored a church. I'd never been in full-time ministry. I actually went to this church because I wanted to learn things about how you manage the inside of a church. I thought I would be assistant pastor for 5 years or so. And then after that, I could move on to be a senior pastor. I knew I was not cut out to be assistant. I'm too nasty, bullheaded, and many other bad things. I still smell something over here. Well, anyhow, I get there, and we have some speaker. I don't know if it's a missionary, but it happened about three times, and I was only there 7 months. Church took an offering. I have no idea how much it was, so I'll make up a number. Let's say the offering was $400. No, I'm not going to say that. That won't work. Because I have to go back to my buddy Frenchie. Let's say the offering was $435. Zach, are you listening? And your lovely sister? Here it is. This is not maybe, but I was young. Do you understand being young and you're not, you don't think about certain things. And when I got there, I never worked, listen, I've been in the military, come on. But I had never really worked around a liar as a Christian. Now, I've met Christians who lie, and there's a few in this church that I'm pretty sure are unsaved by the behavior. But I never really worked around in close quarters. I mean, I'd been in the Navy working around all kinds of people, but most of them actually were honest. So when we raise, say, $435 for a missionary family, what would your assumption be, Zach? Yeah, I mean, $435, yeah, would go to the missionary. Be quiet. So I'm going to publicly say, and Frenchie can verify, in my 22 years, we have never, ever given one single missionary the amount of the offering. We always round up. Every time. Are you listening? This guy, no, he gave that guy a tithe. So it was like if he got $435, I think he gave him like $100. Now, understand, now I'm not exaggerating. I'm not lying. It happened, but I was young, Zach. I wasn't, you know, you're young and you're not thinking about, I never thought about a pastor being a liar and a thief. It never, yeah, it's just like, well, pagans don't live like that. Every person that was a special speaker, at least three, he gave them a cut. It wasn't exactly a tithe. And it wasn't the big cut either. No, it would have been like it was $300. He'd have kept 200 and gave 100 to the guy. Fraud, lying, cheating. You say, what did you do about it? Honestly, I was there such a short period of time, but I do know this. Can you imagine? This actually happened here too. There is something in our constitution, which we don't follow for a lot of reasons. Someday I'm going to have Dada rewrite it. Folks, according to our constitution, I have the right as the pastor to be number one, the president of the corporation, and to buy property on my signature. I wonder who would have put that into practice. Juan, you don't have to use the name. It's like, I ain't following that. I'm not the president of the corporation. Mike is. I'm not even on the board of the corporation. I'm the pastor of the church. But anyhow, I didn't know what to do. I was kind of like, you know, when you see something that's so bizarre, Zach, you don't know what to do. You mean you don't give the missionary the money that the church raised? So I want you all to know, not that it's important for you because I'm really speaking to everybody, that even somebody as oblivious of Frenchie, he knows we always round up. Nobody gets less, ever. What? You say you consider that thievery. What else would you call it? All right, I just bring that up. We're going to move on. Yes, I've seen a lot of things, but I never thought, and by the way, folks, I'm not perfect, so you're not going to see me stealing money out of the offering, okay? I'm not going to take my cut. You say, do you have weaknesses? Yes, I have this problem. I think it's being around too close to her. I have a little problem occasionally with patients, but other than that, I'm pretty good. In your notes, number 6, tithing was practiced before the law. So the tithe and the tithe was commended by Christ for now. It was also practiced before the law. You say, Pastor Warren, why is this important? Because there's a whole group of people without ever reading the Bible doesn't matter. They don't know where the verse is at, but they do know this. We're not under the law, we're under grace. They don't know where the verse is at, but they've read that. Now, by the way, the verse has nothing to do with that, because it's actually saying, you're not going to be a person that's dominated by sin. Why? You're not under the law. It's not an external matter telling you what to do. When you get saved, it's an internal matter. The Spirit of God indwells you. The relationship has changed. But actually, what I find is, Jesus is commending tithing during his earthly ministry. It was also practiced before the law, which means, well, you know the verses, don't you? It says, and he blessed the most, and he said, blessed be the Most High. It's talking about Abraham, which had delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave him, this is Abraham, gave him, Melchizedek, tithes of all. Chapter 26, 5, because that Abraham had obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my law. Hebrews talks about this. Now consider how great this man was, Melchizedek, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth. Deca is the Greek word for ten. That's the tenth. And he gave the tenth of the spoils. And the only reason I put the Greek there, folks, spoils is a little specific here. It goes back to you were not supposed to give God. You looked at 100% and said, okay, out of this 100%, these are bad. Let's give God this. It was this word, what's the word? Acropolis, something that's high, comes from this. It's saying when you look at the whole produce, the best is on top. Give God the tenth of the very best is the idea. Genesis 28 says, and this is talking about one of my favorite people in the Old Testament, Jacob, which I have set for a pillar shall be God's house, and all that thou shalt give me, I will surely give the tenth unto thee. As I say in your notes, this makes tithing transdispensational. You have it before the law, during the law, and after the law. So this conversation about no tithing, Jesus commends it. The patriarchs practice it. It was practiced throughout all the Old Testament. Please look at me. I'll say one more thing, and we're going to hurry and wrap this up. And every time it talks about supporting pastors, it uses references from the Old Testament and usually comparing pastors to the priest. Same concepts, folks. Now, am I looking for your money this morning? No. Remember I said the very first week? I don't go after people's money because people who won't give, they just don't give, and that's their problem. I'm doing this for my friend that's not here this morning, Linda. Number seven, and Frenchie messed this up. No, there was other messes too, but this is the worst one. The discussion of thing. I'm thinking that's discussion of tithing. There ought to be like a... Yes, in the new notes. I know I fixed it. The discussion of thing is far too limited and limiting. So everyone look at me, please. Please look at me. There are many verses in the Bible on money. Actually, one time years ago, I thought, I'll teach on money. It's too much. I actually have a book in my office. It's this thick, and it just goes from reference to money is a major issue in the Bible, but not always what we think. So let's turn our Bibles to Exodus 20. I don't have any of my seniors here right now because they could tell you this. Exodus 20. Frenchie old geezer. If we raise $435 for a missionary, what do you think we would give them? We would definitely give them $450. If it's somebody I like, we might give them $500. You say, what if it's somebody you don't like? They're still getting more than what we raise. Nobody will come through here as long as I'm pastor and say, they took my offering. Yes, yes, ma'am. You got to realize this is the common occurrence. And that's the reason I always give more, because I want the people to feel blessed here. Yeah, I know that. And listen, I can tell you Kevin Bowder, every time he comes here, he says, man, you guys give more. He drove from Minneapolis to Fargo, North Dakota. Is that where it's at? Tim, turn that thing off or I'm going to break it. Fargo, North Dakota. Now, that's not a 15-minute drive. He spent six hours on Saturday, 4 hours on Sunday teaching. They didn't pay for his house or his room, his meals, or give him an offering. And I'm like, I said, Kevin, are you sure? Yeah, and I'm like, so yeah, Kevin likes to come here. I'm gonna conclude today in the next 5 minutes with this concept. The discussion of tithing is far too limited and limiting. Now, I want you to look at Exodus. It's Exodus 20. It's everybody's favorite verse in this book, in this church. Exodus 20, verse 17. Now, Dada, I know you know where the Old Testament is, so go ahead and read verse 17. What is coveting? Does it have anything to do with money? Or stuff? Everything. Now, I'm going to tell you something, and maybe you've never thought of in your entire life. There's only one sin of the second table of the law, starting with honor thy father and thy mother. There's only one sin that doesn't have any kind of payoff for you. Do you understand payoff? Okay, let's go back up. Dada, look up at right after honor thy father and thy mother. Go ahead and read that one for us. 20-something. All right, so if you kill somebody, you might have some consequences, but there might be the pleasure of you off somebody you don't like. Correct? Okay, next. Now, we know it's wrong to commit adultery, but there might be some pleasure. Yes or no? Next. Well, obviously, if you steal something, you're getting something. You hope. Some of you have no idea where I'm going with this. Next, Dada. Well, everybody in this room has lied. I know this from the Bible. It says we're born speaking lies. What's the payoff of speaking lies? Get you out of trouble, stuff of that nature. Yes? Yeah, any number of things. Go ahead, Dada. What's wrong with this verse? There's no payoff. Coveting never ends. It never ends. But there's no payoff at all except you wish you had what they have. That is the dumbest sin of all, and it's the number one sin in this room. There's no fulfillment. There's no payoff. There's no payday except wanting more. By the way, let me say this. Money's all through the Bible. You can't get away from it. And do I think it will affect people? No, because it requires something of you. To really meditate on Scripture is the secret of Scripture. Most people just don't have the chops. They hear it, it's gone before they're gone. So let's read some of these verses real quick. We got 3 minutes. Jesus says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt. Now, in the old world, some of your treasures would be clothing. You understand, even when I was a kid, my dad had he had two pair of blue jeans, one he was wearing, one was being washed, and he did have some suit that he probably had his entire life. People didn't have clothes. Clothing were status symbols. They still are. But in the ancient world, when you had wool and things like that, moths like it. So you're saving up your robes. Then you go in one day and say, oh my goodness, every robe moths have got in. Now, you're too young, but for this guy, he can still remember mothballs. He says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You say, this is not about giving. No, this is about money. Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Then he has this, I hate this verse, for where your treasure is, folks, let me shine a light on where you spend your money. I'm going to tell you everything about you. You know this. Don't kid yourself. I'll skip the next two verses and let Dada explain them because they're too hard for me. Verse 24, no man can serve two masters. And I think this probably is as good a verse on tithing as in the Bible. Sooner or later, you're going to realize you're either going to serve yourself and your appetites or you're going to serve the Lord. And you can't go both ways. It's kind of an absolute dividing line. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 23, there's not a Christian in this room that believes this. Not in the way it's written. Then said Jesus unto the disciples, verily I say unto you that a rich man shall hardly or with great difficulty enter into the kingdom of heaven. We don't believe that because everybody in this room is rich. Hello? In a biblical world, every individual in this room is rich. Because in the ancient world, most people lived day to day. They didn't have the ability to store anything. Nobody here lives like, none of us live like that. But you don't believe it's hard for a rich person to get saved. Neither did the disciples. He says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And you say, what's that mean? Exactly what it says. Than for a rich man to enter into heaven. Now, I like the next two verses, if I may say this. When his disciples heard it, they were like, huh? Who then can be saved? But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men, if you think you're going to talk a rich person, one of you, a person like us, into getting saved, and repeat at 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, good luck. That is an impossibility. The good news is, but with God, all things are possible. It's only God's grace that opens people's eyes, friend. Let's look at 1 Timothy 6, verse 6. But godliness with contentment is what? To me, that's the key of life. Whatever God gives you, look at me. At the very least, don't get caught up in your coveting. where every time a new toy comes out, may I say this, I believe very few of us need the things we have. I think most of us are driven by covetousness. I have an iPhone. I'm glad I have it. We don't have a house phone anymore. I want to ask you a question. How did we go in 1996, where not a single person in this environment had a phone, to the year 2018, and some of us have more than one phone? We don't do anything with it except play. And then we have iPads and iPods and IHOPs, and man, we're doing all kinds of stuff. And here's our problem. And the moment they come out with a next trick, you got to get that too. By the way, live any way you want to live. I think some of you get too wrapped up in tithing. I think I'd be reading the verse. Hey. I'd be reading and meditating on the verses that talk about money. Because our real problem isn't tithing. The little pervert that you mentioned last week, his problem isn't tithing. His problem is covetousness, which the Bible calls covetousness idolatry. And that you cannot enter the kingdom of God and be a covetous person. Ooh, I didn't write it. Paul wrote it in Ephesians and Colossians. On that, the rest of this information is for you. Next week, we'll pick up on giving. But just giving in 1 Corinthians 16, 1 to 4, and the implications. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. I don't know, Lord, I love being American. I love America, but I sure don't like some of our stupid. It's nice to see so many people that get missions, they get helping people in need, they help, they get the special projects. My goodness, I got some folks that get it too well. And others of us are still comparing ourselves with one another so we can hold on to the last nickel to the last day. Help us to hear, help us certainly to tithe, certainly to give, to help those in need, and obviously to support your work. I think you're honored by it. I think you smell something that's very sweet. I think you find a sacrifice that is acceptable, well-pleasing. That's how we want to live. May we be able to do so. I ask in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you, folks.